The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Chairman and CEO for Promise Keepers, Ken Harrison, issues a challenge to every man.
Promise Keepers, at its height in the 90s, lost the idea that Jesus is the promise keeper, not us. We're the promise reapers. And it got to a bunch of guys standing around in a stadium promising each other we're going to try harder. And that just leads to guilt and all kinds of nonsense. We need repentance and understand that the Holy Spirit will turn us, change us from the inside out. He'll change our desires.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And I've told you that much of what happens in my life is the answer to her prayers. As a matter of fact, she prayed so hard for me to have something really supernatural happen in my life. And when it happened, it was like, God, you overdid it. I didn't mean quite that. Right. You remember those little discussions?
I do.
But she moves me. Sometimes I walk in the family room in the morning and tears are rolling down her cheeks. She'll have the Bible open in her hands and she's weeping over what she sees, where marriages and homes and families, and there's so much pain and heartache. And at our age, in our 70s, we've said goodbye to a lot of our friends. And it's broken our heart. It's something that we say, God, let us comfort the brokenhearted. And I'm telling you, Father, I want to pause right now. And for everyone who's thinking no one would even understand, would you take them in your arms? I mean, so clearly, so directly that they sense your presence, your comfort. And they know not only this couple sitting here does care, but they know how much you care. And I want you to heal that broken heart, comfort them in ways they never imagined. In Jesus' name. Can I say something to you? When we lost our daughter, who was just so awesome, mother of three beautiful teenagers, we said, God, what can we do? And the Lord said, you know, you've got many people praying for you. There are many people right now with a broken heart who don't even know they have a friend. Don't know anybody cares. Get your arms around them. Because as much as I did put my arms around you and Betty, I want to get my arms around everybody. Our guest today, very successful in business, very successful in law enforcement, because it's very effective, and we need that kind of law enforcement. But God did something in his life that moved him from being a very successful, now retired, wealthy businessman, ready to just enjoy the spoils of a great success, and maybe he even says a life well lived. And all of a sudden, he's led by God to move over at an invitation that was miraculous, to resurrect a movement of men called Promise Keepers. He's written a book, The Rise of Servant Kings. And Jesus says, greatest among you is servant. That doesn't mean slave. It means we choose to bless and help and assist others for the glory of God, our King. Well, Ken Harrison is here. And Ken, you walked in our building here, and you know, I don't have a lot of people say this to me. I don't have a clue who you are, you said. I don't have a clue who you are. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't have a clue who you are. And I don't know why you're here. And all of a sudden, you just seem to say to me, tell me what you're hearing. And I didn't hesitate, did I? Mm-mm. I talked about God building one kingdom, only one. And you're either, Jesus said, gathering or scattering. And I said, I want to lose my kingdom and my life in that one because he's interested in my life. And it's high time we get interested in his. All of a sudden, it seemed like we found ourselves on the same wavelength. Mm. Am I safe to say that you and I have become very, very good friends?
I think we're knitted by the Holy Spirit, our spirits together. But when I met you, I want to know who's for real. And I wanted to know your heart right away. And boy, you showed me who you are. And as we relaunch Promise Keepers, there's so many people watching this show right now who are hurting. There are women who have been putting up with husbands who have been abusive. there are abusive husbands who are broken and wondering where to find answers. And as we relaunch Promise Keepers, I think it's really important that we remember that Promise Keepers is simply a part of the church. I'm so sick and tired of hearing churches talk about parachurch ministries. Man, you're the church, I'm the church, we're the body of Christ.
Part of it.
And God doesn't need Promise Keepers. God doesn't need you or me. But God in His grace allows us to serve Him. And I want to reiterate what you said. I told you a story that J. Vernon McGee told when I when I was a teenager. I heard him say about how a famous pastor died and went to heaven, and Jesus was driving him out to his mansion, and they came to this huge mansion, and the pastor thought, well, that's about what I should get for my greatness and my big church. And Jesus said, oh, no, this isn't for you. This is for the widow Mahoney. She was always on her knees praying, and she has that mansion. And the pastor said, well, if that woman I never heard of from my church has that mansion, I can't wait to see mine. And Jesus drove him out to a little tiny cottage and said, there's your mansion. And this pastor said, what are you talking about? I had this big church and I was famous and everybody thought I was great. And Jesus said, yeah, but the reason all those things happened was because the widow Mahoney was praying for you.
Wow.
And I would say, God is bringing back Promise Keepers in an unbelievable way with a great vision. And I think it's because of the answers of the prayers of the people. And so many women, so many men have been on their knees praying, God, do something. And God calls the unlikeliest of people. You know, there's good news and bad news if God calls you. The good news is He called you. The bad news is He only calls losers. All you got to do is read the Bible.
Yeah.
And everybody He calls, you're like, really? That guy? So I'm so excited about what we're going to do.
But you know, He can take any old lump of clay, yielded to His shaping hand, and He can shape it into a vessel of honor. Mm-hmm. He can take Simon Peter with all of his boasting and bragging, and then proved what he really was when he denied Jesus, when Jesus needed him most. And then look what happened. In a short time, he's the keynote speaker at Pentecost. Mm. Everybody, no matter where they've been, if they realize He will lift you up, He will take any clay and shape it into a vessel of honor. And I'm telling you, Ken, what He's done with you is one of the most amazing things I've seen. So when you talk about having a meeting this summer in AT&T Stadium, which you got to admit, that's even in Texas, that's a nice place to meet in the summer, because you wouldn't want to meet in one that wasn't air-conditioned in Texas at the end of July and 1st of August. So when you call these men together, which you call the Rise of Servant Kings, what do you want to see? And when you walk out of that stadium after 2 days of men coming to not only seek the will of God, but to yield their life, the clay of their life, into the hand of the Master Potter, what do you long to see happen when they walk out? One thing I want to mention is that, don't you think we have a tendency to organize things, even that God wants, or that we know are good, into an organization, when if you look at the vision of Jesus and you look clearly at the Word of God, and especially the New Testament, it looks like when He's talking about a body and He talks about uniquely designed members connected to one another, submitted with gratitude, appreciation for one another, each member supplying the other as it has need, and vice versa, submitted to one head. It seems like we're talking about something far greater than an organization. It's like we're talking about a living organism. In fact, He called it a body. Do you have a longing to see that kind of miracle happen where the family comes together like that?
You mean a body like a bride of Christ?
Oh, boy.
That will be
exactly
adorned in pure white linen, which are the good works of the saints.
Wow.
You know, I think to answer your question, to go back to what happened to Promise Keepers, because I know a lot of people are wondering, and like with anything, there's a million things, but I sort of boil it down to two. The first one is, Promise Keepers at its height in the 90s lost the idea that Jesus is the Promise Keeper, not us. We're the Promise Reapers. And it got to a bunch of guys standing around in a stadium promising each other, we're going to try harder. And that just leads to guilt and all kinds of nonsense. We need repentance and understand that the Holy Spirit will change us from the inside out. He'll change our desires. If you have a problem with lust, how you get rid of your problem with lust? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Deny yourself daily. His presence will overcome you, and you'll see women in a different light. You'll see them as your equals, as human beings, instead of sexual objects. So that's the first thing, is that we remember Jesus is the Promise Keeper. The second thing is, Promise Keepers went down because there wasn't discipleship. Discipleship is the church's job, the greater church, but we're going to have a way for men when they leave that stadium, because they're going to go, and the thing you hear from guys everywhere is the feeling of hearing 80,000 men singing Amazing Grace. I've had men in tears tell me that they've never been able to recreate that feeling of the Lord and that feeling of I'm not alone. Because when there's just men together and there's no women around, they take off their little macho mask and they're vulnerable. And so many younger men have told me that their dads, that they went with their dad to Promise Keepers, and that's when he first told them that he loved them. That's when they saw their dad truly real and authentic for the first time, and it transformed them as who they are. So the first part is we want to remember who the Promise Keeper is. The second part is we want to have discipleship. So we've developed a plan, it's too much to go into now, but a way for churches to take what we've done and put men together into teams, have relationships, and to be discipled. And so those two things are really what we're after. Men who are being discipled in the Lord's Word and men who understand it's not us, it's Him.
And you're not going back to a religious lodge, club, or tribe, or a sect or sectarian position. You're not going to an organization, a religious organization. You're going back as a member of this body, this living organism, to help not only share that and say that, but to reveal that you've yielded your life to that and to encourage and inspire others to come. I believe if these men become servant kings, many of the pastors and shepherds feel more like trampled ground than anybody. Sometimes the church leader can become a church boss. Many times the church leader is run by church bosses. It becomes like a very discombobulated, very unhealthy organization, rather than the living organism that the gifted ones are to build up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Just start in Ephesians 4, strive diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Which one? The one you were born into when you were born from above. Seek diligently. Why? Because the deceiver, the divider, is doing everything he can to pull you apart, pit you against one another, get you to wrangle over words to the ruin of the hearers, even wrangle over the word, beat each other up with it, spear each other, divorce one another. And the church just seems to do that until we become these clubs. You want to see something go back that takes such life that the whole church that's been touched by this group all begin to become healthy members of the body of Christ. That's what spiritual awakening is. They won't be defending their denominational position, their pet opinion that they've studied hard to defend. They're going to go back as yielded clay. They're going to go back submitted to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He said He sent another one at the same time. You don't have to look for Jesus. Come back. He's here. He's sitting here with us. The same Jesus is in this studio. He's in your home. Let that Jesus impact. Am I preaching okay here? Is this okay?
I think you've done this before.
I'm telling you, I am full of it. It's overflowing because it's in His heart. And He shared His heart with me. And He wants us to live to fulfill the desires of His heart because they're best for all of us. Does that make sense? Will this fit with what you're praying for?
No, absolutely.
And by the way, I'll be doing a lot of repenting through this because everything God shows me, where I miss Him, I don't see Him, or don't walk right, I want to repent so fast that you can't even imagine. And I mean that with all my heart, with all my heart. That's what I think we're going to see.
And, you know, James, what I've seen in you, you've been at the very top of Christendom from a worldly standpoint, right? You've advised presidents, several. You've filled stadiums, and yet you have a heart that's full of humility. And that is what I want people to see, is that the outward expression of a person who's in love with Jesus Christ is his spirit of humility. I don't care how big someone's church is, how well they know the Bible, how much stuff they've done. If they're not humble, they don't love Jesus. And I remember what you told me, and also a good friend of mine, Oz Guinness, told me, you guys were both close with Billy Graham, and you guys both told me that Billy Graham was the most humble man you ever met.
No question.
I love that spirit in you, and we want to preach that to men. And I think that the outward expression of humility in a man, a masculine way, is generosity and courage. Because we can sometimes put our face on and we can fake humility. We can go to church and we put on a little act, right? But what you can't fake is generosity and courage, because you can't fake how much you just tipped the waitress. I mean, we were together at a restaurant. The waitress comes up. I mean, you guys got to hear this story. The waitress comes up to give James a check for the clean water that you're raising money for. Then she tells me that James led her to Christ. She then led a bunch of the other servers at that restaurant to Christ. And then when we left, I saw James tip her an extremely high tip. I mean, that's a man of God right there. And that's how it comes out in who we are.
Well, I just love you. Betty, gosh, you've lived with me a long time. I mean, we've been married nearly 57 years, or right at it. And we dated 4 years, and I told her she needed to stay strong because I wouldn't always be telling her, I want you to always be really pure. And she's strong. She's got more defensive moves than Chuck Norris. Even now, I'll put a move on her, and she says, I'm still strong. But listen, we've been together a long time. And boy, you've seen me fall as flat as someone can fall. You've been on your knees at the edge of the pit that I dug with Jesus to lift me up. And then you've watched God working in my life until you even said one time, Lord, you overdid it. I prayed and you overdid it. When you see Ken and you see the excitement that I had when I saw Jesus in him and came and told you, did I exaggerate about what God's doing and what you see now that you hear? Do you believe it's going to be?
I believe in what he's, I mean, in his vision for what God wants to do through men today, because we're in a situation in our world right now that's very, you know, everybody's equal, women are so independent, all this. But I still, as a woman, I feel like in my heart, this would be a blessing for women to see men come with all humility and saying, I messed up. Mm. I did it wrong. But God, help me. I want to get it all right now. And I want that balance to come in my life that'll be a blessing to my family, to my wife, to the whole world, and that we can stand as a family strong under God's care and direction. I can see that day coming, and I think it would be so wonderful for it to begin right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
And, you know, I was in a TV interview, and I wasn't prepared for the question, which is always, you know, you give an answer, and you're like, wow, I just learned something about myself. And the interviewer said, why are you so passionate about men's ministry that you want to bring this back? And I said, I'm not particularly passionate about that. I'm passionate about the concerns of women and children, because when men are screwed up, women and children suffer. And I just want to let the people out there know that hope is coming. Yeah. Hope is coming by the church through Jesus in the arm of Promise Keepers. It's not coming from Promise Keepers. Like I said before, God doesn't need Promise Keepers. But there is a gathering of men coming. And I would just say to women out there, get your husbands, get your sons there. And there's hope for your daughters too, because your daughters got to marry someone.
Right.
And we're gonna bring Christ to the masses, to the young men, and say, this is what a man is. I mean, he's a man, he's a person of courage, generosity, humility. And that's what a man of God looks like. There is hope coming. It's coming July 31st and August 1st.
I really AT&T believe
Stadium.
That. And let me just say this to all the women. When men fail, you do your best to pick up the load that should be borne by them, and you do an unbelievable job. But it's not what you hoped for, because you want men to get right. But next to the Holy Spirit, ladies, you're the greatest source of inspiration on the planet. You really are. I actually think, apart from the Holy Spirit, you're the greatest power source. I believe that. So, all of you who know that only God can shape any of us the way we need to be shaped, not just to our heart's desire, but His heart's desire, is for those men to give their life, the clay of their life, into the potter's hands, totally yielded. Pray for that. Because it really is what you long for. I know you'll try to take up the slack, but don't you really want somebody that would love you the way every woman really wants to be loved? Would try to lead and honor you the way you deserve to be honored? A man, not a pawn, treating you like a queen, but a king, treating you like the queen you are. Father, do this. This isn't just our prayer. So truly, it's your prayer that we would be shaped in your image according to your will for your glory and kingdom purpose in Jesus' name. You pray for that meeting in AT&T Stadium. I'm praying it'll not only be filled with men and young men. I'm praying it'll be filled with the Spirit and the glory of God, and it'll spill not only all over America, North America, but all over the world. The dates of the meeting in AT&T Stadium when we're asking God to fall in mighty power on the lives of yielded men. What's the date, Ken?
July 31st, August 1st, 2020. We'll see you all there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have wonderful guests. Our viewers appreciate the fact that we love and invest in the life and ministry of every guest that comes through here. And they know we want to serve them, and they recognize that. Our viewers, they want to reach out to the unknown and the unnoticed and the least of these. And boy, they do it. We'll send you this book, if you'll help us, along with Sheila Walt's book, Praying Women. And we're asking you to help us give fresh water to people whose future depends upon it. And you can be the miracle they need, the answer to their heart cry and their prayer. I think you're going to want to be. Watch closely, watch prayerfully, and then respond as the Spirit of God directs. Thank you.
These are just some of the diseases and ailments that nearly a billion people are exposed to every single day because their only water source is contaminated.
You know, if you were thirsty in Africa or in many of the remote parts of the world, you'd walk up to a stream like this and say, oh, I've got great water. But what you don't realize is in this area alone, thousands of people got cholera, serious severe diarrhea, many people it cost them their children.
Our mission teams have seen these water conditions firsthand in several countries around the world, and they have ministered to families whose lives are torn apart by sickness and death simply because they had no other choice but to drink contaminated water.
And they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mother loves her so much. And I want to see this little baby live healthy because we've given some fresh water to them.
But there is a simple solution for these families, a clean water well. Life Outreach and its mission partners have the experienced teams and necessary equipment ready to drill hundreds of safe, life-giving water wells around the world.
I cannot tell you how happy this scene makes me. I mean, this is what love is all about, the fulfillment of seeing Life Outreach International water well right here so that these children can grow up and have healthy, happy lives. This is good water. Yes, indeed. And we want to do this over and over again. If you've helped us do this, thank you so much. James and Betty, I bet this makes you very, very happy. But the need is still great. Let's do this again and again and again till this is the norm in Zambia and in villages all around the world. Cheers.
Wow, we love all you children, and Sheila, we love you. And here is Sheila's book, Praying Women. Now, I'm telling you something. We're seeing answers to prayer already, but what's about to happen this year, I think it's going to be one of the greatest miracles the world's ever seen. We're sending Sheila's book, Praying Women, to everyone who makes any gift to help us share water. And then some other items that we're sending to bless you. As you help us drill hundreds of wells, so Betty, you know what I'm praying for. Our missionaries have shown us hundreds of areas where there's fresh water available if we can just drill a well. And you, the viewers, paid for the well drilling equipment. But we have to send it there. And then, listen to what I'm saying, the average cost is still $4,800. I don't know how long that's going to remain true, but there have been some very positive things happen to keep it at that. Would you help us? Would you help us drill those hundreds of wells? Maybe even exceed what our advisors and staff council have said you need to limit this year. It makes me want to cry. Well, we're going to do all you enable us to do because you're the ones that give us the ability to drill those wells. Would you right now go and get your bank card and call the number on the screen and say, I'm going to give a well or a portion of a well? $48. And that's how most of the money comes. We have some people who give $4,800. We have people who say we make that a goal every year to drill a well. We have some who say, I'm praying God will let us help drill several. Well, thank God for that. But most come with people giving $48, which gives 10 people water the rest of their life. 144 gives 30. Could you give 1,200 or 2,400 and pray others join you? We'd have a well. Would you go online, use that bank card like a check, or call the number and make the gift God puts on your heart? Thank you so much for being an answer to the prayers of so many who want their children to have a future. Would you help provide that miracle of love? Help us drill these wells, one rail at a time, one gift at a time. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for going online and making the gift God put on your heart.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Praying women, you help us give some water, and Sheila Walsh wants you to have this book and really start praying. And answers to those prayers, I think you're going to see it. You'd like to have this book by Ken Harrison, The Rise of Servant Kings, The Servant Kings. I'll tell you what, I believe we're going to see it. And we just thank you so much for praying for us. Thank you for watching. Thank you for letting us share, Ken. You not only provide the water and the food for the hungry, you make it possible to share the vision that God puts on men and women. Ken, you enjoy being here?
I love it. Thank you, guys.
We're going to behold His glory on His family. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for sharing life today.
Jesus died not to give us the ability to cope, but to conquer.
Jimmy Evans explains the overcoming life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.